good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the latest episode in season two of the Honest Conversation podcast. I like having a second season. That feels quite good. Although that I've imposed that on myself just because I had a break in between my last one and the one I did before. So I've decided that break makes it a season. So welcome to the seasonal journey. So today's podcast is titled Self-Doubt. Now, I was going to title it Self-Doubt's a Real Fucker, but I decided better against that because a very true story is that I had an email from a lady the other day on LinkedIn, and her advice to me was that I swear too much, which I thought was wonderful. And she said it's really holding me up getting on with my career and having a successful life. So I was really grateful for the feedback. It really made me consider my life choices and decide that she needs to stop interfering with my vocabulary. So thank you for that advice, anonymous lady. I'm very grateful for it. In fact, I'm fucking lucky to get it. Anyway, let's move on to the conversation of Self-Doubt, the Real Fucker, to go for its full title. Self-doubt is something that all of us, so cards on the table, myself, you, the person you're sat next to on the bus, that random person you're staring at on the tube, the guy stuck in front of you in a car in the traffic jam that you're currently sat in, all of us have suffered from it, at one form or another. So I don't think it's anything to be ashamed of or afraid of. In fact, I think we should talk about it because it's an important message. You know, self-doubt does, at one point or another, affect all of us. It's kind of, if you think about self-doubt, it's 99 times out of 100, it's like the foundations laid by others for a house that we build ourselves. Chances are, you know, there are times that we plant our own seeds of self-doubt. There are times that other people plant those seeds of self-doubt. Then we just water it and grow. There are times situations create those seeds of self-doubt. We spend more time actually trying to believe in it. So trying to find supporting comments or mechanisms or thoughts or, you know, that long conversation with ourselves. We spend more time trying to fuel that self-doubt, which someone else gave us or something else gave us or we decided to give ourselves, than we actually do trying to put the fire out. That's how much of a bastard self-doubt is. It's a horrible thing. And if you're suffering from it today, right now, when you listen to this, I suppose my one bit of advice is it's not true. So don't worry about it. And it's very easy for me to say that because I'm currently not suffering from it, but I have in recent weeks, months and years. You know, it's not the first time in my career, won't ever be the last time. Not the first time for you, won't ever be the last time. You know, I think ever since I've gone into, you know, leadership roles, you've had a doubt, and it's up to you to deal with that, how you deal with it. You know, in relationships, we've had doubts. In friendships, we've had doubts. Fuck me, I've had doubts over the meal choice that I've had for dinner. You know, there are doubts everywhere all the time. So I suppose if you're suffering from it right now, just remember we've all suffered from it, and you're not on your own. And you know, I don't want you to be sat in the car or with your headphones in or wherever you are today, you know, stressing about something that, you know, we need to try and deal with it. So I'll help you today. And, you know, at the end of this podcast, I'll give you some really good, like really good material actions that will help you make a difference to you. So I suppose, you know, understanding why we decide to water self-doubt and feed it, you know, it's most probably a human mechanism somewhere inside us. I'm sure someone a lot cleverer than me can give us the answer to that. And that sort of wallowing that that creates is really tough. You know, what else scares me about self-doubt is how it manifests. Like some people manifest self-doubt in withdrawal or sadness. Some people manifest it in aggression and, you know, gregarity and all these other sorts of things. And, you know, we it changes who we are as a person and it makes us modify our personality. And that's not a good thing. Unless it makes you into a nice person and you're naturally an arsehole, then most probably have a little bit more self-doubt. But without that exception, and I can only think of one person that fits into that category my whole life, but with the exception of that one person, you know, self-doubt is something that changes you and shapes your personality or how you approach people or how you approach problems massively. And that change could have a massive effect on the outcome of that conversation or that meeting or that moment or that feedback or that work or that paper you're typing up or the project you're doing for school or any of these things. It could have a massive, massive impact on that because we're not thinking like ourselves. You know, it stops us in our tracks. It makes us withdraw from our relationships, makes us withdraw from friends, makes us stop talking about things, makes us withdraw from the job that we do, makes us withdraw from our colleagues. You know, we start making really silly decisions because of self-doubt, because we're second, third, fourth guessing ourselves. And, you know, we basically become this huge manifesting, self-fulfilling prophecy about something that 99 times out of 100 isn't even true. It's just because we kept watering it that made it true and true and true. It's crazy. The other thing that it does is it makes us really defensive about feedback. So you could be having a self-doubt about, let's say, how good an assignment is that you're about to submit to your lecturer, or how good a project is that you're leading or running or part of at work, or how good your relationship is. That's obviously feedback on a relationship isn't easy, particularly when it's the person in a relationship you're in a relationship with that's giving you that feedback. But you know, think about all of those scenarios, then imagine when you get feedback on them. So you get feedback on the project, you get feedback on your dissertation, you get feedback from your lecturer about the work you're doing. And the feedback isn't great, but it's not terrible. It's just, you know, I would change this, I would do that. What we tend to do in those situations is sort of tell everyone else just to fuck off and leave us alone, because we're already doubting that we're good enough to do the project. And then we're getting feedback from someone that's saying you need to change the project. And of course, in a rational mind, perfectly rational feedback to get. Yeah, no, I get it. That's the right thing to say. That's the right thing to do. Thanks for your advice. Thanks for your feedback. But when you're suffering from that doubt, when you're questioning everything about what you're doing and how you're doing it, when someone gives you feedback about it, of course, they might as well come and give you a Rocky Balboa uppercut and just knock you straight out, because it feels that affronting to you. And that's all because you had stopped believing in your ability or your skill, or someone had planted that self-doubt in your head that had made you modify your behavior. Now you're acting differently because of it. And that self-fulfilling prophecy that you're creating is ultimately because you don't believe anymore, or you don't believe in yourself anymore, or you don't believe in what you're doing anymore, and then you've watered it. So the biggest challenge about self-doubt, one, first of all, is like understanding how you got it, you know, what is it about. And God, we have self-doubt about our looks. We have self-doubt about whether our trousers can do up after a long meal. We have self-doubt just about everything. So unpicking that self-doubt, unpicking how you're feeling today and trying to understand it is really critical. Otherwise, you end up like you're feeling in a tumble dryer all the time. You just go round and round. And that sort of foggy, horrible, heavy, cloudy feeling that you carry because of it is usually all because of a comment, or usually all because of something you read that you didn't understand the context of it, or because of someone's joking passing comment, or because you're watering that seed yourself in your self-induced self-doubt. Now there's a real arsehole of a self-doubt if ever there was one. So first of all, let's start thinking about how you'd unpick it. So, you know, are you doubting yourself? Are you actually doubting yourself as a human being? That you're not good enough at the job, or you're not good enough in that relationship, and you need to kind of understand why that is. Are you suddenly questioning your ability? Is it something that you could do and now you're wondering if you can do? Or is it something about a part of a job that you've never had to do before, now you're questioning whether you can? Is it something that's changed in your ability? That, you know, you were fitter than you were and now you can't run that 10K. So you've got self-doubt. I have to tell you, if you've run it once, you can run it 101 times. Is it your worth? Is it your self-worth that you're questioning? You know, am I good enough? Should I be here? Am I in a job too big? Am I in a relationship with someone better than me? You know, all these crazy things that we tell ourselves. You know, think about that one. Am I in a relationship with someone better than me? I mean, you know, a relationship isn't winning and losing. Well, it depends. I suppose there are relationships out there that are like that. They're called toxic fuckers, but generally You know, it's an even. You're in a relationship with someone because you love them and you want to be with them and you need them around you and they need you around them, and it's this lovely, fulfilling thing. And that could be friends or boyfriends or girlfriends or all of these things. Mums, dads, uncles, aunties, you know, all of these. And questioning your worth in any of those relationships is insane, because you're still the same wonderful person you were before you started having self-doubt. The big one is, you know, when you start to question your purpose. You know, what am I doing? Where am I going? Where's this going? What am I out to achieve? Why am I not achieving it? What is my purpose? What is my life goal? God, that's a really wanky question, isn't it? You know, what is my life goal? One of my favorite questions that really stimulates people's purpose is when people say to you, you know, what do you hope to achieve? What do I hope to achieve? You know, it depends. My hopes to achieve depend daily. You know, I hope that I achieve waking up in the morning with both of my eyes open. I'm off to a good start then. You know, if I wake up Friday without a hangover, that is an achievement. You know, it depends on all of us. You just got to, you know, I actually had this really good conversation with someone the other day, a little bit fueled by self-doubt for them, but they were like, did you always know what career path you wanted to be on? And my very direct answer was absolutely not. You know, I knew where I wanted to be maybe in one or two jobs time, but I never sat, you know, as a 16-year-old me, wondering to myself if ever I would be on a board of a company or a senior executive or a leader of a business. You know, I didn't sit there and go, oh, that's exactly where I need to be. No, I knew what I wanted to do next. And at that time, I wanted to cook. So I knew I wanted to cook. So I think we have to be careful that self-doubt isn't us putting too many pressures on ourselves because we believe society tells us we should look in a way, behave in a way. We should have a 5-year fucking plan. No, you know, my plan changes from day to day. My plans at work are very solid, so I know what I want to achieve there. In my life, I just want to enjoy it and live it and be, you know, and live to some sort of level of impulse along that journey. And I'm sure it drives a lot of people around me nuts, but, you know, for me, it's about enjoying those moments and treasuring those things rather than fueling myself full of self-doubt that I should have 101 post-it notes on a sort of wall. It should be like some sort of fucking scene from some murder investigation. And that is my life plan. My life plan is laid out there in post-it notes on my wall, like some sort of scene from Carrie in Homeland, where she's planning to catch an assassin. So, you know, for me, that it's all relative to the person that you are. And I think we put this pressure on ourselves to look a certain way, be a certain way, act a certain way, when if anything, just be happy being you. You know, I hate to really break it to you, but all of those things, your ability, your worth, your skill, your purpose, you, all those things that you could be doubting are fundamentally the same thing. They're you. They're you. You're contained in that lovely sort of bag of flesh. And all of those things are related to you in some way or another. And, you know, it's important that, you know, you understand that fuel. And yeah, let's put our cards on the table again. We've all made good decisions. We've all made really shitty ones. We've all made decisions that have empowered us and driven us. We've all made decisions that have stopped us sleeping at night. And those decisions could be big or small. It tends to be the ones you don't expect that really catch you out. There are fleeting moments in our lives, seconds, minutes, hours, that just pass us by. And we make decisions in those times. And if we carried those around, if we carried the weight of those decisions, or the weight of our ability, or the weight of our worth, or the weight of our purpose that fuels our self-doubt, I don't even know if we'd get out of the house. You know, self-doubt kills your ambition. And your ambition doesn't have to be career related. It's your ambition, your soul and purpose, your sort of drive. Because it makes you so insular from everything. I really don't want you to be like that. I really want you to understand that, you know, this self-doubt that you're currently feeling or have felt or will feel in the future, you're carrying it around like little bricks to put pressure on yourself, which fuels more self-doubt. Because the more you start to worry about why I'm doubting myself, and then you worry that you're doubting yourself, now you're doubting yourself because you're worrying about it, and, you know, it becomes this sort of cycle of confusion and mess. You know, I honestly, in all my experience from my colleagues and my friends and the people that I mentor and coach and look after, you know, self-doubt is one of those leading things. It's the most damaging thing to us. It's like I did a podcast on fear of failure. I really think you should listen to it after this if you haven't already, because it'll really complement this podcast really well. Because doubt, self-doubt, fuels that fear of failure. And all you're doing is doubting yourself. Now, you didn't feel self-doubt yesterday and you feel self-doubt today. Let me tell you that unless you have done something pretty horrendous overnight, become a serial killer, not a great thing to do. Robbed a bank without wearing a mask. There's most probably a lot of self-doubt that you are going to get caught. I hate to break it to you, you are going to get caught. You know, unless you've done something absolutely mental from last night to this morning, then what's really changed? You are the same wonderful, loving person that you were yesterday. You're the same motivated career person you were yesterday. You're the same loving wife or husband, girlfriend or boyfriend, mum or dad. You're the same person. So the only thing that's changed is how you think about yourself. Now, it's a really heavy thing to think about, but there's a podcast, again, that I did called Opinions of Others. And 9 times out of 10, self-doubt is a seed planted by the opinions of others, the bastards that they are. But you're the fool. I'm the fool because we carried it around with us. Did we need to? Really? Honestly? So, let's have a little conversation about some of the instances. And let's think about it. Think about self-doubt at home. So self-doubt at home could be you're doubting yourself as a partner, a husband, a wife, a son. Then you go away and you find reasons to start believing that. Then you notice that someone looks at you funny or is in a mood with you. And actually, nothing to do with you, but you pin that onto yourself. You then think their behaviour changes towards you. No, that's your behaviour changes to them. So their behaviour is obviously going to change towards you. You are becoming this self-fulfilling prophecy. So you get a fear, you change your behaviour, other people notice it, they change their behaviour to you, boom, shit street. That's it. Self-doubt everywhere. Problem everywhere. And all because you created it in your head from a look or a comment or a thought. And what you did is you watered it and watered it and watered it. Think about it in work. You know, each month you have a team meeting. That's a good scenario. All full of your peers and you're like addressing sales or your performance or performance of the business. And you sit at that table feeling like you're a fraud to be sat around that table. Actually, you know your part of the business really well, but in your head, you think you're a fraud. Someone asks you a question, you fail to answer it. Now, all of a sudden, you're watering that thought that you thought you were a fraud. Self-doubt, bingo. All because of a little bit of self-belief. Think about it socially. You notice that one of your friends hasn't texted you for a while. You freak out, you worry, you stress about it. You change your behavior to them because they're being an arsehole and they're not texting you and they're not talking to you. Boom, shit street, self-doubt. All of these things you're creating yourself. All of these things you are fueling yourself. There is no need for you to have self-doubt. You are creating it. I am creating it. They are creating it. We are creating it. And there's no need for us to put ourselves under that pressure. And it sounds so easy when you say it. As soon as you start to doubt, you start to modify your behavior, you start to change towards people, they start to change towards you, which waters your self-doubt, and you're on this huge perpetual circle for no reason at all. Crazy, right? So let's have a chat about maybe some of the things we can do, some little strategies, some little actions that we can take that start to worm away some of this self-doubt. So the first one is, tell yourself mentally, stop it. Just literally, when you feel sort of that bubble of inner doubt and fear in your tummy, nip it as quick as you can in the bud, because that little inner voice is going to start becoming a little arsehole to you and giving you discouraging words. They're going to start giving you negative comments because it's starting to bubble up, that fear. So talk back to it. Talk back to your inner voice and say, no, actually, not today. No, I don't think that's true. No, that isn't right. And have a little bit more faith in yourself. saying stop to yourself, to that inner demon, that little monkey monster that sits in our heads, isn't a bad thing. I mean, my advice to you is obviously not do that on public transport. Don't sit in the corner rocking backwards and forwards saying, no, no, inner voice, leave me alone today. Because the listeners of this podcast might drastically reduce, because I'm not sure it's broadcast in prison. But my advice to you, or mental asylums, so my advice to you is use your inner voice to have that conversation with your inner voice. But definitely stop it when you feel it, or stop it when you notice something. You're like, well, actually, no, that's not right. Say stop. My other bit of advice is try thinking about all the times when you've doubted yourself. You know, when that negative effect has started to kick in, self-doubts are obviously these little monsters in our head that we are warring, these little problems that we're creating. So try and tell yourself about all the times that you did really good things. Show to yourself some of the great work that you've done. Oh, I don't know if I can do this project. I don't know if I'm good enough. Have a look last month, big guy. You did a better project under shorter timelines that got a standing ovation. Oh, I'm not sure I should ask that boy or that girl out. I'm not sure. Well, you've asked out other boys and girls. They've said yes. So get in there and do it. I'm not sure this dissertation is any good. You've done other dissertations. They were great. So find those positive memories to reinforce your actions. Give yourself a bit of credit. You've done brilliantly in life. You're here today. You are winning. So now it's just a chance of you finding those reasons. My third little gem is to talk to someone about it. This is really shit and difficult, really horrid, really awkward until you actually open your mouth. All of the hard bits are building yourself up there to get to it. Once you actually get to it, it's happy days. You are fine. Find someone that you can talk to about it. And as soon as you start talking about it, you realize how exaggerated that has come in your mind, because you're looking at someone and they're looking at you trying to give you a hug, but also saying to you, mate, you're pretty weird, because none of that's actually true. You've created that. So let it out. Let out that self-doubt. Talk to them about it. They will 9 times out of 10 say to you, actually, that's not right. I see it as this, or I see this as this. They'll be so supportive, because in your mind, it's a much bigger thing than it is in theirs. And they see you, the reality of, you know, who you are. And that's quite an important thing. Following on from that, I suppose my next sort of little bomb for you is self-doubt gives you that worry. You know, the fear we talked to about it. That sometimes we worry about things that we've said or things that we've done. And then we worry about how other people have seen those things that we've said or things that we've done, from our kids or people at work or anywhere. I've got to tell you, and I hate to burst your bubble, but no one really gives a shit. People aren't thinking as much about what you do as you think about what you do. That's really sucky to hear, and I'm really sorry to be the guy to drop that bomb on your shoulders, but you think you're much more important than you are. You think your words are much more important than they are. They tend not to be, so we tend to worry and create self-doubt over stuff that is pretty low skill. You know, I would say there's most probably occasions where that's true, but they are so marginal. I think that it's, I think it's not even worth it myself. You know, my next point is every setback is a little bit temporary. Every little thing is just you putting on dark sunglasses and looking at world in a little bit of a darker place. Think about that time that, actually, think about the time that you got broken up with. It's a really good analogy. I'll get there, all right? So stay with me here. You know, that when that happened, the week after that happened, once you'd finished listening to the Adele back catalogue and crying yourself to sleep, and you moved on to Lewis Capaldi now because, you know, he's now in the scene and, of course, is giving you emotional meltdowns. Once you got over the sobbing emotionally phase and you're cuddling a teddy bear that's wearing their sock, oh, I miss them so much. Once you've got past that, ironically, within a few weeks, within a few days, you start to feel better. That's weird, isn't it? Suddenly the next day you feel a little bit better again. And every day after that, you start feeling a little bit better. Because the doubt you had, that sadness that you carried, oh my God, she's left me, but I've got her sock on a teddy bear. I never did that, so I don't want anyone to think that, because I've said it twice. I was just trying to find a quite a pathetic analogy, and that was the best I could come up with, was a sock on a teddy. So it maybe tells you more about me than you. But please don't use that against me. I don't want to have self-doubts about the teddy. But once you get past it, you get better and you start feeling better. That's the same with any of these things. That's the same with all of these things. That's the same when we deal with grief. That's the same when we deal with self-doubt. That's the same we deal with the fear of failure. All of these things are temporary. All of them. And every day you'll get a little bit better once you start to deal with it. And every day away from that moment or that comment feels a little bit better. You know, you're not a bad person because you're having self-doubts. You're not a bad person because you failed at something. You're not a bad person because someone passed a comment about you. You're not a bad person because someone broke up with you. You know, you're not a bad person. You're just not a bad person. You're not a failure just because you failed. So stop manifesting that into your identity. Just say to yourself, okay, I'm having self-doubts. Let's sort this out. Let's have a good word with myself. Let's realize that other people don't care about it as much as I do. Let's talk to someone else about it. Let's realize that actually I'm going to get better every single day and stop beating myself up. You know, beating yourself up is the fastest way to move yourself back out of all of them. It's just horrid. Be kind and constructive. When self-doubt is there, be a bit more understanding towards yourself. Have that little one small step of gratitude towards yourself. And, you know, start to celebrate those little wins and things that happen around you. Start to celebrate that actually you submitted that report and it was amazing. Because this is what happens. We have all of this self-doubt, and whatever this self-doubt is manifesting around, when that event or that meeting or that situation or that job or that relationship, when it actually happens, it's a fucking storm in a teacup. And you just wasted days, nights, weeks of your life doubting all of this, then you go and land it and nail it. Wow. Crazy. It's just a temporary thing. So see it as just a temporary thing. Don't see it as a permanent thing. Don't suddenly start to say to yourself, this is it now. This has shaped who I am. Because it really hasn't. So actually, when you think about some of the things to do, say stop to yourself. Have that little mental chat. Find some good memories or things that you did really well. Talk to someone about it so you understand just how mental it is. Don't beat yourself up about it. Just be a bit kinder to yourself. You know, I think if you can do those things, then you'll start moving forward quicker. If you realize, like the breakup, that you'll get over it, it doesn't make it feel so scary, does it? The choice, though, is how quickly you get over it. You can wallow in self-pity with the teddy and a sock. That sounds so wrong. Ugh. But you can. Or you can just get on with life. You can get on with repairing yourself. You know, self-doubt is created by us, watered by us, handled by us, solvable by us. So you've got that choice. And I would hate to think that you're listening to this right now doubting something about it. If you're doubting something at work, you've got the skills to do it, so what are you worried about? If you're doubting yourself about an interview tomorrow, why are you worried about it? You're great. Just express who you are. You'll be brilliant. If you're doubting yourself in a relationship, am I good enough? Is it emotionally in the wrong relationship in the first place? If you're doubting yourself about, you know, I heard someone have doubts about how good a mother or father they are the other day, and you're like, you're mad because you're an incredible mother and father. You know, all of these things are things that we create ourselves. We fuel it. So I'm here to tell you, don't do that. Don't. Just don't. Find a way. Find your strategy to deal with it. Your strategy could be music. But I guarantee you that the really, honestly, the best thing you can do is articulate it. Verbalize the beast. Because as soon as you verbalize it, it becomes so insignificant, because in your head you are self-doubting yourself because you're a horrible evil bastard, when in reality, mind you, unless you're a horrible evil bastard, you're just the same person, and your mates and your friends and your colleagues at work will just laugh it off and say, what are you worried about, why are you doing that for? You just do it because you're doubting yourself. Like I said at the beginning, that creates a situation where you modify your behavior. So from me to you, there's no need to doubt yourself. Self-doubt is a surefire way down the drain for a lot of things. And you're better than that. And you've got no need to feel it. Everything you've got to fix your self-doubt today is in this podcast, because it's all about you. There's no need for it. I have to tell you, hands up, that you will feel it again, and you will feel it again and again, and every time you'll get better and better at dealing with it. So my advice after this is go and listen to the opinions of others. It's a great podcast. I would know I did it because I'm modest like that. But give yourself the chance to listen to it. I think you'll really enjoy it. It's in season one. You know, and it sort of pads out some of these topics. But yeah, really, really worth a listen. I remember self-doubt, self-doubt cripples everybody. So you're not on your own. Even sportsmen suffer from it. You know, self-doubt. Do you remember that time you went for a run and you didn't think you could do it and you didn't do it? It's because you doubted it. Do you remember when you went to try and jump over that ditch, you bottled it because you had self-doubt and then you didn't do it? So, you know, it's all aspects of our lives. Just got to find a positive place to find it. Positive place to talk to yourself about and start having positive conversations with yourself. In your inner voice, remember, that's the caveat there. I don't want any of you getting locked up and put into a big jacket. But look, thank you very much for listening to this episode. Next week, I am back on an episode just for Yaz, actually, on procrastination. So it'll be a really good one. So thank you very much for listening. It means a lot. Please leave a review and share as much as you can. Thanks.